There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. You are now listening to the second hour of the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. We're giving Al a little break for this market wrap just because he's had a long week. He's getting back in the saddle, but I told him to just take it easy the rest of today. So right now it's just myself, Richard Doc Postma, and Gary Savage. And guys, we're going to start off by chatting about the conventional markets. The conventional markets throughout the week steadily climbed higher. They didn't do anything spectacular, but we are just seeing this gradual melt-up in the stock market. Everyone keeps on saying that there are signs of weakness out there in the markets, but the fact of the matter is investment firms and big banks and whoever else has their money in the market continues to slowly inject whatever money they have into the conventional stock market. So I'm going to kick it off with the first question over to Doc, and that being, Doc, how much longer do you think that this gradual melt-up in the stock market can last for?
Well, Corey, it could last a little while longer based on the technicals I'm watching. I especially, as a proxy, look at the volatility. And volatility looks like it wants to go lower here, and possibly for the next week or two. So I expect we will continue to see a little bit of melt up yet in this market before it has a chance of reversal.
Gary, I'm going to throw it over to you because everyone's talking about earnings season coming up and how that's going to impact the markets, but we haven't seen it impact the markets yet. Some of the big stocks have taken a little bit of a hit, but overall, the conventional markets, as I mentioned, are melting up and volatility continues to drop. What are you seeing in your cycles?
Well, I don't know about melting up. We haven't made a higher high. It looks to me like we're just chopping sideways. And my theory for the last month or so would be that this daily cycle would probably be very choppy and hard to trade either long or short. And then maybe we get a spike down into an intermediate cycle low, like at the very end of the cycle, which would be the last week of April or the first week of May, maybe as the market starts to get nervous about that next employment report on May 8th. And so far, that looks like what is playing out. You know, hard to tell at this point whether or not we will get that spike down in end of April or beginning of May that will qualify as an intermediate, a larger intermediate cycle low. Or, you know, if the Fed continues to prop this market up, then we could maybe even get another daily cycle after this before we get the intermediate cycle low. But I really don't think we're going to get any kind of a sustained move above 51.32 on the NASDAQ. So I don't think we've got a whole lot of upside potential here. We might tag that 51.32, but I don't think we're going to make any sustained move above it before we get an intermediate degree correction.
Doc, for those people like us that read the headlines every day and try to follow what's going on, not only technically but also news-wise, what do you think will drive these markets in the next, say, month or two? Will it be news events possibly coming out of the Fed? Will it be the strong U.S. dollar that may weaken or may even get stronger? Will it be oil? Any of these on your radar, kind of on the top of your radar?
Corey, I still think the dollar reigns supreme. I think that's what's going to determine not only the moves in the conventional market, but also in gold right now. So I think really you got to watch the dollar. That's the thing that's going to really define for me what these markets do for a while.
Gary, you've been mentioning that you thought the dollar should be taking a hit here just due to maybe a little bounce in the euro, just because that plays such a major role in the dollar index. Are you still feeling this way?
Well, I got to say, the dollar just keeps throwing me curveball after curveball. It looks like it's ready to correct and give us an intermediate correction, and then it reverses again. So, you know, it looks like we're at least going to make a double top, and we may even make a marginally higher high. But I am still looking for an intermediate degree correction somewhere in here. This rally has gone for more months than, you know, should. It should before having an intermediate correction. So we're way overdue for an intermediate degree correction in the dollar and an intermediate degree bounce in the euro. So, you know, we'll just have to see. The euro is getting late in its daily cycle, so it could put in, you know, a cycle bottom any day now. And when it does, that's going to be a top in the dollar. So I'm kind of watching the euro just see when that thing bottoms, because that's going to tell me when the dollar tops.
Sticking with this euro conversation, Doc, I want to ask you a question that I asked Michael Belkin in one of the prior episodes, and that was, do you think that this recent payment by Greece to the IMF provides some strength to the euro, or is that just kicking the can further down the road for an eventual Greek exit?
I think it's just kicking the can. They have bigger payments coming up in the future. And I think it's kicking the can, and it'll be interesting to see what they do in the interim before the next tranche of payments is due. And I frankly disagree with a lot of people in that I actually think if Greece leaves the euro zone, actually it'll strengthen the euro. Because as you take out these countries that are really unable to ever repay their debts, it'll strengthen the euro with time. If they go back to the drachma, I think it'll be positive for the euro. So I think the dollar will tend to be strong yet for a number of weeks here as they play with what's happening in Greece until we finally see in the future whether they do leave the eurozone or not.
Doc, it's interesting that you say that, referring to the euro doing well after a Greek exit. It's something that Michael Belkin in a previous segment and myself said, that we thought that that would end up being good for the euro to have at least one of their weak hands out of that whole currency. But he also went as far to say that the Greek markets would be a good investment when they exited the euro. Yes, they would get hit, but he said that that would be the best thing and a good investment that he is looking at very closely. Would you agree with that, Doc?
I would at that point in time, because I really think that the dollar has another leg up yet. I don't think this thing is over. And it just makes sense with the fact that they're playing around with Greece. And I agree with the concept that if you get the weak hands out of the euro, that the euro will strengthen considerably. So I can agree with that entirely, Corey.
Now, Gary, I want to throw it back over to you and chat about oil. I know that talking with you on our Friday daily editorial, you mentioned that you think oil could be setting up for a bit of a move up into the 60s region. Can you expand on that a little bit for us?
I do. I think the whole commodity sector needs to have a countertrend bear market rally here. It's due. I like the technicals on oil. It's managed to regain the 50-day moving average, and the 50-day moving average is now turning up for the first time in many, many months. Just a 38% Fibonacci retracement of that waterfall decline would take oil to about $65. And the extreme volatility we've been seeing in the oil market over the last couple months is indicative of prior long-term bottoms. So we've got a lot of the signs that are happening now that have happened before at major intermediate and long-term bottoms. So I think we probably still got a little further to go in this oil rally, but I don't think we've seen the final bottom. I suspect later this year we may see $35 a barrel.
Interesting comments there, Gary. I think that the oil market still is going to have some tough times ahead of them. Yes, they might have this little bounce, but we're going to need to see a huge shift, I believe, in the supply side of things. And I don't see any countries truly committing to that. But, you know, we will just need to sit back and see. Guys, really appreciate this market wrap that we're doing, filling in for Al. Next week, we should be more or less on the regular schedule. We really appreciate Chris, who has been filling in for us. He's going to take it for the next couple segments. Everybody stick around. Chris has some great stuff lined up for you.
minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929. This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. I'm chatting with Bill Howes right now. Bill is the co-founder and current president of the company that I am an investor in. Also, Bill is a friend of mine. In the interest of full disclosure, he and I serve on the board of directors of another publicly traded company that you'll be hearing more about shortly. Bill, you got big news coming out of Rye Patch. What's going on?
Well, Al, thanks for having me on. We've had certainly a lot of news coming out. As you know, we're driving our Lincoln Hill project forward into production. And as a result of that, we've added some land around the area, around the resource area. It gives us a place to think about facilities as are required as we go through the process of our engineering and metallurgical work. You know, we'll need some dump sites and a leach pad and facilities of that nature. And so that purchase allows us the flexibility to go forward design those sites and put them where they make the best sense for the project. So we're pretty happy with that. We just acquired through a purchase 1,650 acres, so a little over 1,600 acres of land. And then in addition to that, we have been working in mapping and sampling on some ground to the north of Lincoln Hill along what we call the Gold Ridge property. And there we've seen some interesting alteration patterns and rocks that we like. And so we staked an additional 360 claims going north out of Lincoln Hill towards the Standard Mine that's just a few miles north of us there. So we're adding to the land package. We're finding some good things, and it looks pretty promising.
So, Bill, we're talking about more than just a production decision. We're talking about a production decision has been made. Is that correct?
Well, we're working towards a feasibility study there at Lincoln Hill. So over the next 18 months, we'll be putting together the engineering designs. The next step for us is really associated with metallurgy. So over the course of the next 18 months, we'll come out with a feasibility study, and then we'll be able to make a decision on a go or no go. But based on what we see so far, we're quite excited by how the project looks.
What exactly is the size of that asset right now, Bill?
Right now we have in our PEA, it's a resource of about 600,000 ounces of measured and indicated and 400,000 ounces of inferred. So that's what we used in the PEA. Right now, we're looking at some upside with regard to metallurgy. In our PEA, Al, we used 64% recovery for gold and 57% recovery for silver. And the idea was to have just a run-of-mine type operation. But in looking at our neighbors next door at the Rochester mine, it's basically the same rocks, the same sort of minerals. In our PEA, we have a run-of-mine operation, which is, you know, we're just going to drill, blast, and haul. And in that, we're using 64% recovery for gold and 57% recovery for silver. But we know our neighbors next door at the Rochester mine, they crush to minus 3/8 of an inch. And by doing that crushing, they liberate more gold and silver. And so they have recoveries in, I believe it's 92% for gold and about 65 to 70% recovery for silver. We are in the process of looking at that kind of size, particle size versus recovery, and we're just launching a metallurgical program that will start this month where we'll take a better look at that aspect of the Lincoln Hill project. If we're successful, that could have huge ramifications for the economics of the project. You know, the project is very robust now, but it would make it even more robust because, you know, if we could get similar recoveries, that would mean we would move the same number of tons and get a 40% increase in the number of ounces. So we're quite excited by that program. And then, as I mentioned in the PEA, we have about 400,000 ounces that are in the inferred category. And as we're moving through this year, we're permitting an environmental assessment for Lincoln Hill. And when that's completed this fall, we'll be able to start our infill drilling. And that's where we'll take the drill pattern in the deposits down to a 30-meter by 30-meter drill pattern, or roughly 100 feet by 100 feet. And that'll increase the confidence of the resource. And then if that's not enough, Al, the other thing we're working on is we have a couple of very nice exploration targets within a kilometer of the Lincoln Hill project. Gold Ridge is one we spoke about earlier. There, again, near surface gold and silver. We had some nice drilling results that we announced last year around September. And then also just immediately to the south of Lincoln Hill, an area that we call the Independence Hill target. again, it looks like just the extension of the Lincoln Hill mineralization. We see the same types of alteration. We've got some drill holes in it. Again, it gives us the same sort of large halo of lower grade surrounding a higher grade zone. And those results, again, we announced last year as well. So lots going on at Lincoln Hill. It's the primary target of the company. You know, we're driving that project towards production. As I mentioned earlier, we're working towards a feasibility that would come out the end of 2016, about 18 months from now. And so, all pretty exciting work, and the work that's really going to create a lot of value for that project.
Let's talk about overall funding, because that's always a consideration. I know where you guys are at in terms of that, but our listeners, I don't think, do.
We're fully funded, Al. As some of your listeners know, we have a cash-flowing royalty, net smelter return royalty from the Rochester Silver Mine, which is our neighbor there at Lincoln Hill. You know, we get at these current prices of gold and silver, the royalty is pushing off roughly $1 million per quarter. You know, one of the things we try to operate, just like everybody at home operates, you try not to spend more than you make. So our programs are designed to stay within that kind of $4 million per annum range. We have money in the bank. You know, if that royalty were to go away tomorrow, we still have enough money to take Lincoln Hill through to the feasibility study. So I think we're in pretty good shape. You know, it's progress without dilution for shareholders. The money keeps coming, even at these prices. So we're positioning the company for when we see gold and silver coming back.
You know, Bill, it sounds to me like gold and silver, the price of gold and silver don't really have to come back for this thing to work, though. Am I correct in that?
Well, at Lincoln Hill, you know, we took a contrarian view in our PEA. We actually did our resource pit at $775 gold.
There you go.
And so this thing is cash flow positive, you know, with the silver credit down to about $760 of gold equivalent. So as gold price, you pick a gold price. If it's $1,000 per ounce, you know, the Lincoln Hill project looks pretty good. If it's $1,500 per ounce, it looks fantastic. So we're in a good position now.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I agree with Bill 100%, but please don't take this as being investment advice. We are not investment advisors. Remember, I am a shareholder in Rye Patch. I have absolutely no intention of selling my stock at this point. Bill and I are not only close friends, but we are business colleagues working on similar projects. Stick around. We are going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. Have you ever wondered why farmers can keep their livestock lean and healthy just by feeding them minerals in a nutrient-dense diet? Before market, they cut off their minerals, leaving them to crave high-calorie grains to fatten them up. So if weight control is this easy, why does the medical system prescribe invasive surgical gastric bypass for humans? The truth be told, according to research, you can avoid over 900 different diseases just by getting 90 essential nutrients daily. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com and order your Healthy Start Pack and get your 90 for life. Or dial 855-301-TEAM. I said essential, not optional, and every day. Easy. 90 for life on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com or call 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com. At sonsoflibertyteam.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. manufacturers. If you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my leg has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of a 100% blocked artery in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone
at 855-955-STONE. Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back, folks. Chris Temple back with you. And as we wind down this weekend's version of the Corlin Economics Report, I'm going to be joined in these last two segments by our old friend. He's a regular on the show, Glenn Downs. And Glenn comes on from time to time. We talk about politics. We talk about what's going on in the world, not usually the investment markets per se, but certainly a lot of things that drive them or have some effect. And Glenn, welcome in today. We're talking off mic about Rand Paul, who became this last week the second major Republican candidate to announce that he's running for president next year. Rand has been kind of an iconoclast, like his father in some respects, and it's been interesting to see some of the press report. I know you pay especially close attention. You know both Rand and his dad, former congressman and presidential candidate Ron Paul. What I want to ask you first is about my perception of the press coverage that Senator Paul received this week, which in most respects surprised me as being fairly fair and balanced. A lot of people pointing out that here's a guy that you have to look at based on the issues. He's not your garden variety Republican. He's talking about tax reform, maybe channeling Jack Kemp of years ago. He's talking about minority rights. He's talking about prison reform, reducing the welfare state, getting us out of at least some of our foreign entanglements. He's breaking a mold, isn't he?
Well, that's right, Chris. He is. And, of course, his dad did, too. But I think he's trying to break it in a slightly different way than his dad. And I'm not surprised that in a way that he's getting the positive press reports that he is, because, frankly, most of the reporters doing the reporting are politically liberal. So that libertarian part of the Rand Paul message strikes a chord that cuts across a lot of different ideological lines. And there's a tendency amongst reporters to frequently want to give libertarian or libertarian-ish, as Rand Paul likes to call himself, Republicans, a little wider berth than they might some of the more conventionally conservative in the 21st century context of that word, candidates. You know, you can remember that his dad, Ron, would frequently go on the Tonight Show or the Daily Show with Jon Stewart, and they passed up opportunities to try to play gotcha with him, and in fact gave him a pretty wide berth to talk about some of his libertarian ideas and ideas of freedom and the like that resonate with him at least on some level. And so that right out of the gate, he did get some pretty good press coverage, at least from particularly the further outside of the political establishment that the reporter doing the reporting came from. You know, around here, there'd be self-reinforcing feedback loops, and it's just very difficult for me to even convey to people that aren't here in Washington, D.C., where I am, how radically different the people that are here and marinated in this culture day in and day out and live here, how radically differently they view the world and they view politics and the art of the politically possible than the rest of the country does. It is really something. So even if somebody is a liberal or a conservative or whatever they might call themselves, if they are moving around certain elite levels of Washington, D.C. society, they all, you know, are clinking glasses together at cocktail parties in Georgetown and up on Embassy Row and the like. And so there's a tendency to view people that don't come from the established political classes here, not wired into the established political quote-unquote thought leaders here, with a real jaundiced eye. Those are the reporters that are the more likely to say the Paul candidacy is just unrealistic and therefore parenthetically dead on arrival, just right out of the chute, because, you know, he's not in the same, cut out of the same Baltic cloth as, say, Colin Powell or whoever. That's somebody they might have some more affinity for because he's part. Those people are part of their social political class. That's the analysis just right out of the gate on the on Rand Paul's candidacy and the immediate coverage of it. But it's going to be a long campaign, and when the gloves get taken off, I think he is going to have a segment of the populace that is similar to what his dad had. But it's probably a little bit broader than that. He's worked really hard at that, so we'll see how much broader he can get pretty soon here.
Well, and Glenn, I look at two segments. First of all, the crowd that is represented to a great extent, for example, at the big annual CPAC function over in your neck of the woods in suburban Virginia. He's always one of the most popular, if not the most popular, candidate there, prospective candidate there. That's going to be a challenge to the establishment part of the Republican Party because a lot of the conservative foot soldiers really like him more than most of the other candidates that are announced or likely to announce. Secondly, and one reporter I saw keyed on this earlier this week, like his father, Rand Paul is really galvanizing younger voters. You know, last weekend on this program, the last two segments, I talked with my old friend Paul Glover. And we were talking about the facts, among other things, that a lot of people in this country, but especially the younger people, are seeing that they've been sold a bill of goods. What they thought was the American dream was the banking and corporate establishment turning them into serfs. They're starting to get this now. They're rebelling against consumerism. They realize that their parents and grandparents' generations were asleep at the switch. And these young people are coming out looking for economic and social alternatives, like we spoke in one context last week. But likewise, it looks early on that, like they did for his dad, they're going to be disproportionately behind Rand Paul. And it's going to really be interesting to see how the Republican establishment, you know, explains this away. So would you talk about that, where you think his strengths are, but where he may also be attacked?
I think you just nailed a strength. And now the question is, A, will the younger people vote? And then which contest will they vote in? That's a good question, too. And frankly, if it turns out that Hillary Clinton does have the Democratic nomination sewn up, and of course, increasingly, it looks like that may not quite be the case. Let's not hang the drapes for the White House or Oval Office yet. But if that Democratic primary is a sleepy primary in a very crowded Republican field that fractures, the race goes deeper and longer than usually is the case, because you know the RNC wants to wrap it up just as quickly as possible.
Oh, yeah.
If it goes longer, then you might find a lot of people that are, most of these states have got either open primaries or primaries that allow unaffiliated voters, the registered unaffiliated voters, which is now the fastest growing category of registered voter, to come and vote in whatever primary they want. So somebody that might want to vote for, you know, the equivalent of if it were Gene McCarthy in 2016 running, they might vote for Gene McCarthy and instead go vote for a Rand Paul. The greatest weakness I see is that he's tried to put some distance between himself and his dad on some of the foreign policy issues. There's not really that much difference. They're just degrees of difference. And his foreign policy views are just anathema to the neoconservatives and the people that write big, big checks on their behalf. And if he really gets traction in today's super PAC world, there is really unlimited money that wants to be focused against any candidate. They can do it. So if there are people that are incented for whatever reason to want to come and dump a ton of money in to quote unquote take out Rand Paul, they can do it. He's goring a lot of oxes here. There are the oxes that, in my opinion, need to be gored or long overdue to be gored. When you go after a man's right or iron rice bowl, you can expect them to fight back, and I expect that they will before it's all over. I said, if Rand gets the traction, we hope he does.
Right, and it's certainly looking like that early on. Even some of the commercials that are coming out now are from these general PACs that are controlled by the neoconservatives and their fellow travelers who are, you know, the ones that are urging people to contact Senator Paul and tell him how dangerous it is to kowtow to Iran and all this other stuff. Certainly, that's where a lot of the attacks are going to come from, no question. Stick with us, folks. Glenn and I will be back with the final segment of the Corlin Economics Report in just a minute.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
It's time to build your own emergency food stockpile with the industry leader, My Patriot Supply. Once you try them, you'll know why so many Americans like you have made them part of their emergency preparedness plan. Experience the My Patriot Supply difference today with this unbelievable offer. Right now, a 4-week food supply is only $99, and that includes free shipping. That's 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours. Limit 2 per caller while supplies last. This offer isn't available online, so you want to make sure and grab this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your 4-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99, and it'll be shipped to you completely free. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Don't wait. Call today.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. When you call, you get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you've been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.
Welcome in, folks. I'm back with Glenn Downs for the final segment of this weekend's Corlin Economics Report. And Glenn, in the last segment, you and I were talking about Rand Paul and about how, in many ways, his candidacy is going to break the mold when it comes to the things that Republicans are typically expected to champion. He's more of a part populist, part America First, part libertarian, much less a social conservative, at least as far as the things he stresses, than some people of the past. But there is one area in which he is really channeling the conservative Republicans that you and I used to know and love, and that is on tax policy. He has come out in favor of a drastic overhaul of the income tax system, of a drastic reduction in the corporate tax rate to make America competitive. Recently, he is a co-sponsor of a bill that would give a temporary tax holiday and also make some permanent changes to the tax code so that some of the couple of trillion dollars that's overseas owned by American corporations would be repatriated to the U.S., theoretically, to create more jobs and investment and that type of thing. And this is something that we haven't heard a Republican candidate talk this seriously about in a while. How seriously is he being taken on this subject by the people that you talk to in Washington?
Well, frankly, not as seriously as I'd like. And I think, unfortunately, right now, what is driving policy from on the Republican side here in Congress is pure politics. There's very little discussion of policy at a really serious level that, like, hey, we've got these serious set of problems that we're dealing with that are fundamental, systemic, they're baked into the cake, and we need to make really serious policy changes for that reason. Now everything tends to be driven towards the next news cycle, the next political cycle, and right now I think Republicans are more focused on quote-unquote governing than they are on, around here that means kicking cans down the road in any number of ways, whether it's the debt ceiling, whether it's the so-called Medicare doc fix, any number of things that doesn't really fix fundamental problems. They just kick them down the road because that way you don't have confrontations. If you don't have a confrontation, then you don't follow the polls because voters don't like confrontation, and therefore you increase your chances of winning as people come to hate Obama and the Democrats more and more, or so the theory goes. And then they justify it to themselves by saying, okay, but when we get the White House, Then we have the House and the Senate and the White House. Then we'll make the tough decisions. And, of course, you and I know that the last time we had the House, the Senate, and the White House, we doubled the size of the Department of Education. We did away with spending caps. We doubled the size of the national debt, which has now been double again, basically, under the Obama administration. So I'm very skeptical about people that aren't serious about policy. But that being said, you know, one idea that the partial tax holiday idea that you cited that Senator Paul has laid out is getting some traction around here, a little more seriously, but it is getting serious traction for political reasons. As the listeners may be aware, there have been serious problems with the Federal Highway Trust Fund. It is out of money. And that's where most of the money that the states get to do the highway construction comes from. I know there's state gasoline taxes, but to build these big interstate highways and big project, most of that money comes from the federal gas tax. Well, the federal gas tax doesn't cover the cost of all these things everybody wants to do, and the trust fund is literally out of money. It's been limping along with patches and borrowing money from Peter to pay Paul for short-term fixes, and that trust fund fix runs out at the end of May 31st. So all the states around the country are saying, hey, we got to let contracts, it's going to be highway building season in the Northeast, for example, we've got to let out contracts. Are we going to have money to do all of this? Where's that money coming from? Indeterminate. But one of the things that's been latched onto is this idea of some kind of a partial tax holiday to let the Apples of the world and people like that repatriate money from their overseas subsidiaries here to the United States at a much lower rate of taxation, then use that money to replenish this federal highway trust fund. So it's not a serious policy debate. It's just that it's a political expedient, but it may have the effect of not only getting that policy implemented here, at least for a while, but it also, that could give credence to Senator Paul's other ideas in as much as he would have been validated on that one. Different set of reasons that he initially proposed it, but that might happen.
And you just took the words right out of my mouth, because this would, of course, show him as someone who does get things done, unlike the Republican Party generally, that's more concerned about beating the president and more concerned about getting in position of governing rather than actually making the hard decisions of governing, because there are hard decisions coming. I mean, things aren't getting better in the fiscal sense. They're getting worse. We not only have the highway trust fund out of money and a lot of our infrastructure in this country decaying and really in need of something along the lines of the space program or Marshall Plan rather than some quick fix. But you sent me earlier this week an item from MarketWatch that was put out by George Mason University talking about the Social Security Disability Fund is about to run out of money. Social Security itself is dipped into every year to come up with the so-called unified budget deficit figures. And earlier this week as well, I put on our Corlin Economics website blog a piece entitled, "There's a Worrying Trend in the Job Market that the Recovery is Hiding." I urge people to go back and read this and understand what the writer from this Business Insider article was getting at. But basically, one of the reasons why this guy pointed out that we have this record level of Americans that aren't even counted in the job market right now as people looking for work is that they're basically paid not to, that the welfare state has become so pervasive and most jobs available these days are of minimum wage or not much beyond that, that the average person, if you're making a purely economic decision, is better off on welfare than working a job and earning a living. And you add all of these things together that we're talking about, and it's a tall order for Senator Rand Paul or anybody at this stage, don't you think, to be able to come up with some kind of a game plan together with Congress to figure out how we're going to ever turn around this fiscal situation without a much bigger train wreck down the road?
Chris, I think you nailed it there. I think the series of train wrecks are going to be the only thing that compels policymakers and politicians to make changes. I just don't see any evidence at all, and I'm here in the belly of the beast, that policymakers and politicians have any desire to tackle these issues if there's any way at all to avoid them. so when you have things like the Social Security Disability Fund going broke that you just referenced, that is the only reason that there is going to be any kind of reform in that disability program. It will be because they have no choice but to. The Social Security's got three different trust funds, basically. There's the Old Age Survivors Fund, the pensions. Then there's Medicare. And then there's this disability fund. And the disability fund, the number of people on disability have grown really dramatically in the last few years, as you found people that are just frankly not able to get work doing anything remotely resembling what they want to do, have applied for disability. And since it's not an adversarial system, you apply and you apply and you reapply, and then hopefully from their point of view, eventually they get it. Well, they've gotten it. So now all three of those funds are cash flow negative right now. Not just talking about counting against the deficit generally, but no, there's more money going out than is going into all three of those funds. They are all running out of money. It's just the first one to go broke is going to be the disability fund. And we know with a high degree of certainty that the day of reckoning is 2016. And the big advocates for the fund is what they'd like to do is to transfer money in from the less insolvent funds to that just to kind of keep doing what they're doing. If they don't do anything, then it will have to cut benefits, disability benefits, to match the cash flow, which means about a 20% cut in disability benefits to people that are currently receiving them, and which would be quite a crisis to those people, obviously. So that's going to be the only thing that forces policymakers to make any kind of changes to that program to put it on sounder fiscal footing is the crisis.
Interesting that we continue to operate under the same mold, going from crisis to crisis, no leadership, no planning, no nothing. But such is the nature of things these days. I'm glad that you're at least letting us know what's going on, even if it's kind of like David fighting Goliath for the guys like you and Congressman Jones. Glenn, thanks so much for joining us, and thank you folks for being with us again this weekend. We'll look forward to the next time.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
By now, you've heard about bitcoins, but did you know that over 65,000 businesses accept bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning bitcoins or trying to make money in the bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co, because at BidBit.co, you can receive bitcoin by selling your personal items or business products. You heard right, whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your products quickly, easily, and securely at BidBit.co. That's BidBit.co. BidBit.co.
The people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.